And now our resident Vatican expert Joan Lewis is back to tell us about Pope Benedict's activities over the past week. Today, Joan talks to my colleague Susie Hodges.
Okay, Joan. Right, so this week, well, of course, it started off with the end of the papal visit to Paris and Lourdes. And, of course, we're still getting the feedback and the ripples from that trip, aren't we?
Well, and from the Holy Father himself, who spoke of his trip at the Wednesday audience, which has become actually traditional for a pope at the Wednesday General Audience following an apostolic trip to talk about that trip. But if you, even the press reports, media reports, Father Lombardi of Vatican Radio and of the press office has made comments, obviously, on the trip, which was viewed as very, very positive. And, of course, our listeners should know, and they may have already heard, that the pope was going on a visit which many foresaw as very difficult because France has been called for so many centuries the eldest daughter of the church. And yet it is a country where, in contrast to about 30 years ago, where 80% of the French called themselves Catholic, today that is 51% only call themselves Catholic. How many actually attend Mass are on Sundays regularly, that's only about 10%. So the eldest daughter of the church, as France is called, was having some problems, and the Holy Father knew that. The church attendance has declined, as we just said. Catholic marriages have declined, vocations have declined precipitously. But the Holy Father did find a very lively faith when he went there, when he addressed the young people, when he spoke to the world of culture, when he addressed bishops, priests, seminarians, and men and women religious. He did find, it might have been smaller but in numbers, but he did find a very vibrant faith. He himself said that. And
a warm welcome.
And an extremely warm welcome, which obviously you're going to expect at Lourdes. Of course you are, this Marian shrine par excellence. But his reception in France, in Paris, excuse me, where, of course, his plane landed, was equally warm. And it was very interesting to notice that President Sarkozy, he broke with protocol and welcomed him personally, just as President Bush did when the Pope went to the United States. By going to the airport and personally greeting the Holy Father. And one of the problems has been the fact that for over 100 years now, the idea of laïcité or secularism has been enshrined in French law, a distinction between church and state that almost seems to exceed in many, many ways the distinction between church and state that we have in the United States. And the Holy Father was trying to say what Sarkozy had actually said on a visit, I think it was last year, to the Vatican. He said, the Holy Father was trying to say, these are two distinct entities. You've got the religious sphere, you've got the political sphere, but they can cooperate. They don't have to be totally separate, one not having anything to do with the other. And in fact, of course, he was stressing the Christian roots, not only of France, but actually of all of Europe, which the European Constitution, they are trying not to even mention the word Christianity, Christian roots, and yet you've got almost two millennia of Christianity in so many European countries, in particular France. So the Holy Father was saying there are these two spheres, yes, but they really should be able to coexist peacefully side by side, and one augment the other, certainly to bring all the moral, ethical values of a religious practice, of a religious faith into the public sphere.
Indeed, and not compete, feel the need to compete with each other.
Exactly. It's not like you have to choose between being political, so to speak, being a citizen and being a religious person. You can be both things at the same time. So we had the Holy Father addressing the bishops and addressing the young people who were just absolutely going crazy for him. And that was a wonderful thing to see. And it's great when you take an older man, almost a grandfather figure, but these kids do treat them like they were a younger generation rock star. And, you know, that's really not a bad thing at all, to have that kind of love and esteem and enthusiasm for the leader of the Catholic Church. Now,
indeed,
we've kind of talked about Paris a bit, which was a very wonderful visit. It was just about a day, maybe not
just over a day. Yeah.
Just over a day. 24 hours, and then the Holy Father did go to Lourdes. There were two masses at Lourdes. Probably the day that he left to return to Rome, Monday, was a very moving mass. That was a mass for the sick people. And interestingly enough, in talking to a number of the journalists who were on the plane, they were telling me that they, in talking to French citizens, discovered, of course, you had Paris in the north, should we say, and Lourdes, obviously, in the southern part of France, just adjacent practically to Spain. You had French pilgrims from the middle part of France, who decided they went to Lourdes instead of Paris. So, and there were just absolutely massive crowds at Lourdes. The Holy Father had wonderful things to say about life and death. He had said what the Church, of course, has always preached, that death occurs. There is a natural end to life. We don't take life. We are not supposed to take lives ourselves. That's in God's hand. And so when he was with so many of the sick people at Lourdes, and he said that, live your life, no matter the pain, no matter
there's
the frustration.
There's value in suffering.
There's value in suffering. Life has its natural end. God knows when that's going to be. It can cause even crises of faith. He knows that, pain and illness. But he said that if you have your faith and keep your faith, that this suffering will bring great, great graces.
Yeah. Well, moving on now to Tuesday of this week, Pope Benedict sent a message to all those taking part in the prayer services on the eve of the UN General Assembly. Tell us something about what was said in that message, Joan, and what it means.
There was a prayer service organized by Cardinal Ian of New York and Celestino Migliore, the Vatican representative, Archbishop Celestino Migliore. And it preceded, it was the eve before the opening of the 63rd session of the General Assembly. So you had many diplomatic members present for the mass, staff members of the United Nations. And the message was sent by Cardinal Bertone, but of course it was in the Holy Father's name. And the Pope obviously sent greetings to everybody taking part in the prayer service, but really beyond that to the diplomats and by extension to the UN staff members. And he said he would implore, God for the guidance and strength to carry out the urgent tasks, which we all know are facing the United Nations in the coming months. He spoke of the implementation of the Millennium Goals. And he said these are initiatives which are aimed at ensuring that the whole human family shares in the benefits of globalization. That is one of the great concerns, obviously, of the Holy See, because it seems that sometimes this globalization, which is supposed to involve everybody, ends up being only in the hands, the benefits of a few. And the Holy Father said, among other things, he said he really renewed an appeal to all the international leaders, who of course will be speaking coming weeks at the UN, to reappropriate, was his word, the lofty moral vision and the transcendent principles of justice embodied in the United Nations founding documents. And he said he urged them to strengthen the leaders, to strengthen their commitment to upholding the dignity of each human person and building a world of ever greater solidarity, freedom, and peace. So a wonderful message. I'm sure it was very uplifting for those meeting in this church in New York City before the UN began its 63rd session.
Joan, there was another interesting event this week in the Vatican, and that was a press conference that was held on Tuesday to draw attention to an upcoming conference that's been organised by the Pontifical Gregorian University on the origin of the species and evolution. That's a very interesting subject, isn't it?
Well, it's fascinating. And when the journalists were advised of this conference, the fact that the press conference would talk about a conference that was going to take place in Rome in 2009, and normally we don't have press conferences that many months in advance, it turns out that the press conference came at the end of a three-day workshop, which was part of this overall program, part of which is going to be the big Rome conference in March of 2009. And the other sponsor, you mentioned the Gregorian University, the other sponsor of this is the Notre Dame University in Indiana in the United States. And it's kind of under the aegis, if you will, of the Pontifical Council for Culture. And there is a project called STOQ, S-T-O-Q, which is Science, Theology, and the Ontological Quest. And all of this is this conference on evolution, on biological evolution, to, by the way, celebrate the 150th anniversary of the publication of Charles Darwin's The Origin of Species. And so the gentleman present at the press conference, several priests, of course, from the Gregorian. There was a professor, Philip Sloan, from Notre Dame University. They were here to present the program and objectives of this conference in March of next year.
And our thanks there to Joan Lewis, who'll be back at this same time next week with another edition of Joan Knows.